We're studying the Baal Sulam's article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose. And we're going to go back to the header, The Absolute Good. Baal Sulam says, to avoid tiring the readers with long discussions, I've relied on all that I wrote in the previous essay, the Arvut, and especially on all that is explained in the essay Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, which are both like a preface to the exalted matter ahead. Here I will speak briefly and simply to make it clear to everyone. First, we must understand that the Creator, He is the Absolute Good. This means that it is utterly impossible that He would ever cause any sorrow to anyone. And this we take to be the first concept. For common sense clearly shows that the basis for any evil doing in the world stems only from the will to receive. This means that the eagerness to benefit ourselves makes us harm others due to our will to satisfy ourselves. Thus, if no being would find contentment in favoring itself, no being would ever harm another. And if we sometimes find some being that harms another without any will to receive for its own pleasure, it does this only because
only the desire to receive in each and every being obliges it to relate to the other, to each and every one outside of itself, in order to benefit, to be rewarded, to succeed and live at the expense of the other.
And if we sometimes find some being that harms another without any will to receive for its own pleasure, it does this only because of an old habit that originated in the will to receive, a habit that now rids it of the need to find a new reason.
Is this clear thus far, friends? Meaning the desire to receive in all of creation obliges us to care seemingly only for ourselves, just like the desire to receive decides, and nothing outside of that. Clear? But questions to the point only. 18.
He explains to us that the will to receive is not because he wants to directly harm the other, but that he wants to complete itself according to his nature.
It's only because he feels a lack inside himself, and that's from that he relates to others that way.
So from here the question, so why, where does the hate come from? What is its root? Why do we need to hate?
We're talking about the desire to receive, and if the desire to receive comes to certain degrees in which it begins to feel the other, and to feel that the other has something that he doesn't have, then he starts to hate the other.
So according to what you say, there's an addition above Baal Sulam's explanation.
Everything is in the desire to receive. The Baal Sulam cannot bring you the whole explanation about the will to receive here, but the will to receive is the entire nature of creation and all the qualities that we can possibly discover or reveal in all of creation is only the qualities of the will to receive only.
Thank you, Raf. Can we say that the Creator plays no part in the harm that we do to each other?
That's a complex question. Whether we are really causing bad to one another, who are we causing it? Is it to the will to receive of the other, the desire to bestow of the other? That's the unclear question. Therefore, we will wait with it. Let's go.
Yes. I wanted to ask about what he says here. First, we have to understand the Creator, who is the absolute good, which is clear to us as the first concept. What does it mean that it's clear to us as the first concept?
Meaning that there is the absolute force of good, and according to his nature is that way, and there's no questions about that. There's no questions related to him. Meaning that is considered good, and that is what there is in creation, and there could be nothing bad from him, and nothing bad will ever emerge from him. Only good. That's the what we call the absolute good. Yes?
And the expression, the first concept, what is that?
Meaning that's what we receive. Meaning if we want to think correctly about all of creation, about nature, about everything that takes place, we need to take upon ourselves that, or to accept that, like a decision or an agreement, or like an initial condition that there is a force that is absolute good, and it exists in nature, and from it onwards, we measure everything.
Is this like an axiom?
Yes, it's like an axiom. Certainly later we discover it, we reveal it. Why he's good, to who he's good, why in such a way, why we think it's good. Maybe it's not in, meaning all those things are clarified as we are in attainment, on the ways of our attainment. Next.
Because it's clear to us that the Creator is complete in and of himself and needs no one to help him to complete him, since he precedes everything, it is therefore clear that he does not have any will to receive. And because he has no will to receive, he is fundamentally devoid of a desire to harm anyone. It is as simple as that. Furthermore, it makes perfect sense to us as the first concept that he possesses a desire to bestow goodness upon others, meaning to his creatures. And this is evidently shown by the great creation that he has created and set before us. For in this world, there are beings that necessarily experience either a good feeling or a bad one. And that feeling necessarily comes to them from the Creator. And once it becomes absolutely clear that there is no aim to harm in the nature of the Creator, it necessitates that the creatures receive only benefits from him. For he has created them only to bestow upon them. Thus we learn that he has only a desire to bestow goodness, and it is entirely impossible that any harmfulness might be in his domain, which could emit from him. Hence, we have defined him as the absolute good. And once we have learned this, let us look at the actual reality that is guided by him and how he bestows only goodness upon them.
Yes. Well, it's clear to us that this is deep, but what can we learn from this? The first thing is that the Creator, we receive him as the absolute good, that he created us, hence we have all the questions of how it could be that he created us in such a way and so on. Soon we will read about that. He has the desire to bestow only good things to his created beings. And what we see, here comes the question, whether we see all of creation or part of it, or maybe we don't see correctly, meaning maybe the flaw is in us and not in the creation itself. But the axiom, the thing that we truly accept to start with, is that the Creator is good, and he does good, and he never did, does, or will do anything in any possible way bad to anyone, to any of his created beings, to his world, but rather all is just good that does good. And then, because we have many questions about this, so let's see what he wants to explain to us onwards here. Baltia 3.
Good morning, Rav. Yesterday in the 10, we scrutinized this article, and we simply wish to understand why the Baal Sulam writes that the heart agrees and not the mind.
According to our intellect, our mind, we can't see it this way. According to our mind, we see the world filled with suffering. And according to our feeling, we want it to be so. That's it. It's not that we feel that the whole world is good and the Creator is good. No, but we don't see it that way, but we would want it to be that way. Whereas the intellect sees that everything is opposite, that there is nothing good in the world completely. PT 4.
He writes that anything that needs to complete itself, he does it by harming the other. How did he get to that conclusion that whatever the world receive wants, it must find in harming the other?
The desire to receive enjoys what fills himself, and also in that which he sees that what he has is more than the others have. From the smallest possible things that he has more than others, from which he enjoys, and therefore it's called the desire to receive, until the biggest possible things, and from that also that he harms others, where he himself places it in a way that he is more powerful, makes more, earns more, and is better off than the other. That's all within the will to receive. We feel this on ourselves.
Every will to receive is harming the other?
Every desire to receive operates in such a way. We just don't understand this or feel this. But even in our smallest particles of the matter, of the inanimate matter, even there, there are the same tendencies, the same inclinations. Okay? Yes, Oren.
I wanted to ask about the paragraph that starts by Furthermore, it makes perfect sense to us as the first concept that he possesses a desire to bestow goodness upon others, meaning his creatures, and then that this is evidently shown by the great creation that he has created and set before us.
He created everything and gave every kind of creation, of creature, the force of life, the vital force to exist and develop. What happens later with all the creatures already seemingly has nothing to do with the Creator, but rather to the relation between the created beings, between the creatures, where each sees himself by wanting to live at the expense of others. But he explains this. He'll explain this soon. Okay?
Let's go.
We're at his guidance is purposeful guidance. By observing nature's systems, we understand that any being of the four types, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, as a whole, and in particular, are under a purposeful guidance, meaning a slow and gradual growth by way of cause and effect, as a fruit on a tree, which is guided well toward its final outcome of becoming a sweet and fine-looking fruit. And go and ask a botanist how many phases the fruit undergoes from the time it becomes visible until it is completely ripe. Where not only do its preceding phases show no evidence of its sweet and fine-looking end, but as if to anger, they show the opposite of the final outcome. That is, the sweeter the fruit is at its end, the more bitter and unsightly it is in the earlier phases of its development.
Is that clear? This is on us also. Eventually, when a person goes through all these stages, he goes through stages of development with difficulty, with great clashes, and in very not good states, because the desire to receive that is revealed in him from the shattering is a big desire, and it's crude, it's cruel, because it's more shattered than others, and those people are very unpleasant. It's written about the Kabbalists that they have a very not pleasant character. They're very harsh, difficult people, cruel, nasty, and so on. And the person who corrects his nature reaches the opposite. Just like he says here, if the fruit at its beginning of its development, of its growth, is bitter and not good looking, not pretty, then he tells it, that just points to the fact that at the end of its progression, it will be beautiful. It will be soft and tasty and beautiful. Clear? We'll continue. And so it is with the animate and speaking types. The beast, whose mind is little at its end, is not so wanting while it grows. Whereas man, whose mind is great at his end, and is very flawed while developing. Because a day-old calf is called an ox, meaning it has the strength to stand on its own legs and walk, and the intelligence to avoid hazards on its way.
That's what we see with animals. The moment they come out of their mother, it's done. They can exist. And they don't quite need their mother. They could stand on their own. They can survive.
A day-old infant, human child, lies seemingly senseless. And should one who is not accustomed to the conducts of this world were to examine these two newborns, he would certainly conclude that the human infant will amount to nothing. And the calf will become a new Napoleon. Meaning, if he were to judge by the wisdom of the calf compared to the senseless and mindless child.
Next.
Thus, it is evident that his guidance over the reality that he has created is in the form of purposeful guidance, without taking into consideration the order of the phases of development. For they deceive us and prevent us from understanding their purpose, being always opposite to their final shape.
Thus far, is it clear? I can't see any reactions. Meaning, what is he trying to tell us? As we look at the development in nature, in the still, vegetative, and animate, we mostly see it in the animal kingdom, where an animal that is born, a newborn animal, within a few hours, it can get up on its feet, start wandering, it can suck milk, it can grow, has no problems. Whereas a human baby, even a few months, later, he doesn't know anything, he can't stand on his own, he can't receive anything. Rather, everything has to be prepared for him. And this is a great difference between the still, vegetative, and animate degrees and the speaking degree. Why is it? According to the future development that has to come to a person compared to the animal, where a calf that is born knows how to stand on its own legs and eat in the very first day, but he will remain this way until the end of his days, whereas human baby, even though he cannot do anything on his own the first few years of his life, but he grows with his intellect, with his feeling, and he transcends everyone. In other words, we cannot understand, we cannot determine according to the initial form that a person has, what will be of him, what will become of him. We cannot do it. We only need to give him the possibility to develop, and then we will see how these forms can grow to be completely opposite. and vice versa. Don't make any decisions based on what we see before us in the current state. That's why it says, who is a wise person? Why is the one who sees, who can see the future? Well, that only on the condition that you can see the end of the development of a certain creature, you can decide who it is right now, and no other way. Because as we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, he who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. And so his development is challenging if he's a great one. And he might not even seem all that wise. He doesn't get along that well with the friends, with the society, with the studies, in general. Until gradually, slowly, over the course of 20, 30, 40 years, he comes to a state where suddenly we see, oh, look what kind of a human came out of him. So don't look at a person and don't judge him according to his state, rather according to what will be of him in the end. Okay?
Nikolaev, Sochi.
Да, вот вопрос, а почему тогда человеку кажется, или он даже...
Yes, we have a question. So why does it appear to a person, or he's almost certain that he understands how to live in this world, and even when he studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, it seems to him like he understands. Why doesn't a person have the desire to adhere to the sages and to see that you're in a period of your life that you don't understand anything whatsoever, starting from the...
If the will to receive is great, a person doesn't quite agree with what he's being told. He's not capable of annulling before the great ones, the sages, only a little bit. But ultimately, he's constantly resisting his teachers, he's rebelling against his teachers and everyone, and he cannot accept anything easily.
That proof, like the unripe apple or the fact that I'm in the same state of being unripe,
it's so you would subjugate yourself and accept what is being, you're being told, and then understand what's going on. But your ego doesn't let you do it. And then you have to fight against your ego. They tell you, well, you can subjugate your ego only if you're in a group. But you don't want to have a group. And so on and so forth. And gradually, over many years, when you nevertheless participate in the process, you receive small portions of light, and it brings you to the correct form.
Should have been that scientists, those who study nature, would bring the creator faster, more nicer, and it's the opposite.
No, scientists cannot discover the creator because they investigate nature only through their intellect, and they cannot grasp all these phenomena in their intellect. You see how confused we are in the modern world with everything that's happening to us in the environment, with human society, with nature. We cannot count on science for nothing because, after all, the content of science comes from man's ego.
Hebrew 10.
Thank you, Rav. So what actually is the final form of man? How should we perceive him correctly?
One who resembles the Creator, Doma. That's why it's called Adam.
But like Bala Salam writes, to our eyes it all seems deceitful. So how can I imagine the resemblance to the Creator?
You don't have to imagine anything. You need to try to do what's written about you. That's it. You want to see into the future. You won't. Only when you annul yourself, you'll acquire the future forms.
So how to do what you just said right now, where the wise sees that which will arrive?
No, he speaks of scientists, but not of Kabbalists. You cannot see what's coming. Only when you annul yourself, you can see your future that is becoming your present. Baltia 3.
Здравствуйте все. Рав, а почему так человек...
Hello, everyone. Rav, why is a person born in such a flawed state relative to animals? Because it seems like the more he is developed, then...
Incorrect. All of development is... We see it in nature.
Halash.
As much as he is weak in his intellect and his feelings and his with his strength, accordingly he can develop quicker. Quicker, but more tangibly, more realistically. And it's all for him to be able to receive his fulfillments, not from nature, inanimate nature, but from his environment, which is constantly developing from generation to generation. And the calf that was born 100 years ago and the calf that is born today is the same calf. And he will become the same cow as she was 100 years ago. But a child that was born 100 years ago and a child that is born today, they will be completely different children. They will develop differently and they will reach different degrees. Therefore, you cannot determine precisely what will be the case with each one and even with us, and you cannot demand that we will be developed from our very young age. On the contrary, the more we advance, the more we'll see our children not so developed, advanced, rather possessing the ability to become, but it's not like they're coming with the wisdom of the previous generation.
We're on the paragraph starts with, it is about such matters. It is about such matters that we say there is none so wise as the experienced. For only one who is experienced has the opportunity to examine creation in all its phases of development, all the way through its completion. And he can calm things down as to not fear those spoiled images that creation undergoes in the phases of its development, but to only believe in its fine and pure end. The reason for this gradual order that is mandatory for every being is thoroughly explained in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and there is nothing more to add here. Thus, we have thoroughly shown the conducts of his guidance in our world, which is only a purposeful guidance. The attribute of goodness is not at all apparent before creation arrives at its final completion, its final ripeness. On the contrary, it rather always wears a cloak of corruption in the eyes of the beholders. Thus you see that the Creator bestows upon his creatures only goodness, but that goodness comes by way of purposeful guidance.
матратит.
Unity two.
Рав, большое спасибо, что разрешил спросить. Вы сказали, что...
Рав, thank you for enabling me to ask. You said that a person builds himself above others on his own. And a little earlier you answered a question that if we feel that we're bringing contentment to the Creator, then we...
I don't understand what you're saying. Go over it again and it'll be clear. No. Next one.
Are there more questions do you want?
12:13. Okay,
PT12. Good morning, Rav. There's something very pleasant in feeling that everything is purposeful and that the Creator is good that does good. If I go with that sensation, am I in the right direction? Can I put aside all my doubts, all the bad that there is around?
I don't think you can calm you down, but this is a correct assumption.
Well, let's say, in order to accept this article correctly, do I have to go a little bit above my intellect and forget about all the...
No, no, you can't forget about it, I'm telling you. Yeah, you're not listening to me. You have to accept this assumption, this hypothesis that Kabbalists say that the purpose of creation is to do good to the creatures, and in the end, everyone comes to it. That's one thing. The other thing, together with that, you have to pay attention to your own states that come and change every moment. And what does the Creator want you to discover about it, how to learn something from it?
Thank you, Rav. A question from a friend. Why is purposeful guidance obliging or committing us to having gradual development?
Because you cannot swallow all of creation at once. You cannot. It turns out, according to what we attain, that there's only one person, one man in the world. We don't understand it, but what I need at the end of my development, I need to include the entire world in me, including all the worlds, which is my internal system of understanding, of feeling, of awareness, and I have to do it gradually.
What does it mean that I include the whole world in me?
Of course, man is a small world. He includes inside everything. I can't explain it. Take it as a working assumption, and gradually you'll begin to know it. Moscow one.
Что значит, если сердце отказывается принимать как аксиом?
What does it mean that in a state in which the heart refuses to accept it as an assumption that the Creator is good?
You will continue to learn and to do what Kabbalists are advising, and gradually you will understand what they meant and how it's taking place in you and how it's bringing you improved intellect and feelings, meaning brain and heart, and then you will feel all of creation. Of course, right now, you're like a small child. You can get up and cry, I don't want it, I don't want it. And what will come out of it for you? It's good that you understand that this is what you've got on the one hand. On the other hand, using your intellect, you should understand that there are more changes that have to come to you, and then you'll think as grown-ups, just like little kids compared to grown-ups. So are we. So let's not be quick to cancel all of creation and dismiss the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything Kabbalists are telling us. Check it. And even though the heart disagrees, the head should help you tolerate it and continue until you evolve sufficiently. P5. PT5.
I have a friend that's in translation asked to ask, I'm reading it, if all of creation is moving towards its final good state, then maybe the whole mess that we're seeing around us is purposeful. And we simply need to continue to flow with all of reality and not try to change anything in it.
You're correct. We can do nothing. And of course, we will also reach the goal in this way. But there is an accelerated and more pleasant form of development compared to the development through blows. You understand? Let's not develop medications and systems of communication between us. Let's not do anything. Let's live in caves or under the trees as we used to, and that's it. Rather, your life will nevertheless obligate you to develop, because the will to receive doesn't want to suffer. So the question is good, but there's no choice here. So it's better if we add our intellect to our feeling and our feeling to our intellect and think how we can benefit ourselves and move towards a quick, good development.
Yes, that's the next heading, the two paths of Path of Torah and Path of Pain.
Rav,
I heard that you said that a calf that was born 100 years ago is like a calf that's today, but a person, a baby that was born 100 years ago is very different than a baby that's born today. And a baby that is much more developed today. Why is it that way?
Because man has to develop, and therefore in each and every generation, he's a different person, whereas a calf does not need to develop, and that's why he's practically remained the same and nothing changed about him throughout the generations.
Meaning that all the animate, or the animal, and meaning what will happen to all of reality after a man reaches the degree of speaking, and everyone will remain the same, animal will remain animal, vegetable will remain vegetative, still will remain still?
Yes, why not? Only man, because he's connected to the still, vegetative, and animate, will influence them from his corrected degree, all the good forces, and then the wolf would dwell together with the lamb.
So what is the evolution that we see in our world of animate and vegetation?
These things, we don't need to go too deep into it, we lack the vessels for it. But all in all, everything is advancing according to the degrees, still vegetative, animate, and the speaking, but the main thing is the evolution on the speaking degree. And what you have on the still vegetative and animate degrees, it's not real, it's not inconsequential. Everything depends on men. It's under men's control. They change because of men. They have no free choice. And their development is only to ensure that man comes out of them.
If love of others is a means to reach the goal, does that mean that we need to take advantage of others in order to reach the Creator?
You cannot bestow to the Creator without the other. To the extent you bestow to the other, you bestow to the Creator. This is the secret of the idea that behind every friend stand the Creator.
Does it mean that I'm exploiting the other?
You can say that you're exploiting them. Because your goal is the Creator.
But
reluctantly, you have to approach the other and work with him as if he is the Creator.
Tov, Kab U7.
Yuval. So it seems to me like no matter how much I can annul myself to the Creator, no matter how much I have faith above reason that He is the good that only does good, there's something inherent in my nature that won't let me be 100% surrendering. And that's also to my advantage.
There is nothing about your nature that you decide on. Everything is decided on, is determined by the Creator from above, and it's all determined in order to bring you to the purpose of creation, your purpose, your correct development. Hence, you should learn how to assist this process and reach it quickly in the best possible way.
Tel Aviv 4.
Rav, the religious people are in their religions from either enjoying it, like he writes here, or from habit. So that's already their second habit. So how can you start to explain to them that
God forbid, we do not touch any religious person. We don't enter any form of religion. I don't want to hear about it. If I will see that anyone from Bnei Baruch is going to religious people to convince them of something, I will throw these people out from our system at that very moment in the most brutal way possible. We have no connection to religious people. We respect them. We don't want to corrupt them or benefit them. Nothing. Simply zero. As if they do not exist within our field of vision. I don't understand where you got this thought, this silly thought, and why are you even going out to convince anyone?
Not to convince, Rav. Simply more of the half of the population of the world are religious people.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to any religious person of any religion to talk to him about the wisdom of Kabbalah. He can remain in his religion as long as it feels good for him. I wish him all the best.
So how will they reach correction?
It's not my problem. I'm telling you, you should accept it as a law. We do not touch, we don't approach any religious person, regardless of his religion, who is he, what is he. Okay. We publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah freely. We disseminate it. Anyone who wants may visit our website and study. But personally, we do not approach any religious person, period. Do not forget about it. It's extremely important. By that, you are destroying your own advancement, your own correction.
Mark 17.
Дорогой Рав, скажите, вопрос десятки.
Dear Rav, can you please tell us, it's a question from our 10, what extent can we see our future as present?
I don't know what to tell you because I never want to see my future. the way I feel the present, why should I? I seemingly steal from my spiritual work to go and bestow with my eyes closed and put everything, all my stock on the Creator and ask for advancement from Him, and whatever the Creator does is all for the good. And I do not belong to the future. I don't want it. I shut my eyes. I cover my eyes so as not to see it at all. No, it's lack of faith. I won't be able to advance into spirituality in this way. Rather, the fascination with the future, what will be in the future, this goes against the wisdom of Kabbalah completely. Here we have to follow faith and not reason. And you demand reason, knowledge of the future. First of all, it won't do you any good. It will not do you any good. And you will also reach the end of your life in this way, in searching for all these fortune tellers. Okay, friends. I guess we won't be able to continue this article. God willing, we'll continue it tomorrow. I want to tell you again, try to re-listen to the first half of the lesson. Try to understand that there cannot be any ascent without a descent, and that we need to rejoice about the ascents as during the descent, and be happy during the descent as during the ascent, and advance in this way, and do not forget for a moment that all our states come to us from above, and we need to only hold on to one another and to the Creator. And this way we will get through this stormy sea. Okay?
Our broadcast schedule for today at 10 a.m. Israel time, the world program with Rav Lightman will be broadcast, and at 10:30, the writers' meeting. We'll conclude with a song.
Только между нами сможем почувствовать один. Si tu es dans l'océan tout seul, ce n'est pas. If you have a dream alone, it's not one. Uno insieme ad ognuno. Один это когда все вместе. Wir sind wie ein Mensch mit deinem Herzen. Uno insieme ad ognuno. Один это когда все вместе. Un seul amour sans aucune frontière. Wir sind wie ein Mensch mit deinem Herzen. Давай объединим весь мир и почувствуем один. Wir sind deine große Familie. Si tu chantes à la lune, tout seul, ce n'est pas un. If you sing in the ocean alone, it's not one. Uno insieme. Wir sind wie ein Mensch mit deinem Herzen.
так, как...